Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah.
This meeting is being recorded.
Introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
All right. That's Brother Satyri's grandson when he was real young. And so he was training up the child the way to go. Hey, Bill, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Yeah, I have a great call. You a little later. Everything okay, sir?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Monday Night Time You Cast. With your host, David Murphy, myself, Mr. Baba Satyri Jahi. And Andre Hector is not with us this evening because he's taking classes on Monday nights, and he'll rejoin us soon. And welcome to you, some of our people that's on the Zoom call. Also, we want to say welcome to those who are live on Facebook as well as Blog Talk Radio. And as always, this is a busy time of the year because everybody knows the voting situation takes place. Maryland just opened up today, and a lot of our people interacted with that as well. And so, you know, serious time. But before we get started, I'm going to bring my brother, my soldier on, Mr. Satyri Jahi, who has a powerful reading. While he's doing that, I will be sharing the podcast with quite a few groups. So, Brother Satyri, you have it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And as y'all heard earlier, the show was introduced tonight. I forgot to dismantle the pre-setting audio that I normally have for Blog Talk with my grandson. And so that's the voice y'all heard. And that's really good because it ties right into our reading for today. And reading for today, teach your children well. Strive to make something of yourself. And strive to make the most of yourself. Alexander Cromwell, minister and Pan-Africanist. Anyone who has raised a child knows times of intense frustration. I remember hearing an angry father about his 12-year-old son. Why don't you grow up? After a short pause, while fighting back the tears, the boy replied, "That's what I'm trying to do. Raising children is like pouring concrete. Before concrete can be laid, a solid base must be prepared. Once the concrete is poured, the mixture must be shaped and molded before it sets. Once it sets, change is possible only after you have removed what has already been laid down. If done properly, a well-poured footing will last a lifetime. If done incorrectly, the surface crumbles, the structure cracks, and the walls and the floor shift." The analogy is obvious. The following thoughts express the influence that parents exert on their children. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with fear, he learns to hate. If a child lives with pity, he learns to feel sorry for himself. If a child lives with praise, he learns to be appreciative. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns to love. If a child lives with honesty, he learns truth. If a child lives with sincerity, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with love, he learns that the world is a wonderful place in which to live. Children are fast learners. Let's be patient and teach them well. Today, I will spend time with child or children. I will instruct them on the true values of life. And, you know, any of us that has raised children, you know, we know that that is a tedious process. And, you know, said if you raise a child right, they'll never deviate from their path. And so, you know, the most important thing is when we're raising children, make sure that we give them a foundation that is just as solid as concrete so that they can have an obvious sound structure with no cracks and no crumbles in it. And without the floor shifting. So So it's very, very important in raising children that we teach them well. You know, it's so, so important that we do that. With that said, David, back to you, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. Speaking of children, I want to give a shout-out to my granddaughter. Today is her birthday. She's 14 years old. My, like you say, how the time flies. And,
yes,
and so, you know, wish Janaya a happy birthday, young lady. And you talking about raising up children. Man, you know, my parents raised me up, and and you say they won't depart from it. But, yeah, you know, all the things, you know, I can recall. That's one thing about the human spirit, the human mind, is that it can take you here and there and almost everywhere. You know, and I can recall those days of discipline, not doing it, don't do this and don't do that. And I didn't know why. You know, they were saying don't do this and don't do that. And sometimes, you know, we get too curious and we go out there and do this and do that. And we sometimes we pay a powerful penalty for that. You know, a lot of pain and hurt comes from it if we're not listening. But while we're talking about raising up children, let's get to the point tonight is this. You know, last week we was on a call and we were talking about voting. You were talking about certain issues in the black community. And a couple of members was on the call say, you know, yeah, we are aware of the issues. Let's talk about some solutions. And so, and that's what pretty much the National Black Unity newspaper is all about, is solution-oriented publication. And so tonight we want to talk about, yeah, we want to bring up the issues, but if we're going to bring up issues, let's bring up the solutions to those issues. Because people like are being bombarded with issues and problems. But what's missing is how do we get out this situation? For instance, like this voting thing going on. You know, there's a lot of issues around voting. There's a lot of issues around the politicians. There's a lot of issues around the whole format, the whole system, really. But what is the solution to some of those things? You know, first of all, you have to get in the game from my perspective. And if you're going to get in the game, then hopefully you can change the game. But in this particular country, things are not always on the equal playing field. And we don't all start out at the same starting block. And black people in this country, what they call the United States of America, has always been at a disadvantage. First of all, we came here without our own permission. We were forced here. We were forced into slavery, Jim Crow laws, discrimination and race, everything. All this has been heaped upon us. But yet we are resilient people and we still surviving, and we still way behind in so many different areas because it's designed that way. But that's the way they designed it. But how do we, us, how do we change these situations for ourselves, make our lives better? And speaking of children, make our future generations' lives better. I was on a call last night with the National Council of Elders. They had elder organizations all across this country, which I belong to, a local here in Maryland, Maryland Council of Elders. And speaking of that, I want to give a prayer out for one of our members who had, you know, had transitioned, Sister Maisha Walker, I believe her last name was, and strong sister, and now she's gone to be with their ancestors, and my prayers are with her and the family. But these elders yesterday were speaking about the same thing I'm talking about this evening. How do we make our lives better? How can we make a better future for our second, third generations and a legacy? And because we are elders, most of them was in the late 60s and over. But yet they have a wealth of information, a wealth of talent, a wealth of experiences to how to, because they've been there and done that, and they've dealt with a lot of issues. And they're in their own right, they had overcame, just like myself. And one thing about life is you are always going to have issues in your life. I don't care if you live, you will have issues. If it's not happening to you, it would be happening to those around you and those you care about. But again, I'm going to open up this call because a lot of people come from different areas in life. A lot of people have different interests in life. And since we was on this call last week, as how I started off, is that we said we want to talk about solutions. And I'm going to start off with my partner, Mr. Bill Gooden, because normally he has a podcast later on, right after this podcast. And so I value his opinion. And this brother has a wealth of experience as well. He's on the, he has been on the front line, still on the front line, battling. He's a writer, author, activist, and many other things, and a good brother. So, hey, Bill. Yeah, you got to unmute. You just muted yourself again. Unmute yourself, sir. Okay. And
can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You got it.
Yeah, first and foremost, I just want to say good evening to everybody.
Good evening.
And, you know, I think that David started off saying that the National Black Unity newspaper is a paper where we hope to offer solutions, and solutions could be embraced that we can create change. Personally, I'm on several different levels. Number one, we always have to, you know, we have to pray and we have to believe in the Creator. We have to believe in the Creator, you know, because a lot of the stuff that's happening now, then, you know, if you go to biblical books or whatever, some stuff that's happening is meant to happen, as bad as it is, right? But we can't accept that because, you know, we're human beings and we still have an obligation to try to change that. I have always said, David, and I still believe, you know, our blueprint to changing our condition is through unity. And it's unfortunate that we, and I said this last week, we too often organize and unify around personalities opposed to unifying around issues. Once we can get to the point where we start unifying around issues, then we can start changing our behavior and our condition. I mean, it's just like when we talk about, for instance, I'm talking quick because I want everybody else to talk. You know, when we talk about, well, you know, we have to spend our money with black people. Well, we have to make a conscious effort to do it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we can't just say it and then we know that black people are in business and we pass them by. Because once we spend our dollar with them, we're empowering them to help them to hire other people and empower other people. Then secondly, like I say, you know, we have to have an agenda between ourselves that somehow or another we can work into black people households and pray that they will at least read the agenda and look at it. So the things that they could agree to, then we could start organizing them around them issues. So until we have a clarion call of somewhat in terms of trying to really start trying to get the people on the ground to a table, you know, it almost like let's make a deal. We need to be able to sit around, man, and everybody need to put the ideas on the table. And then we need to come out there with a formula and say, this is the recipe that we all agree to. You know what I'm saying? And then everybody work towards that same thing. But the thing that we work in so many different levels, don't get me wrong, because I appreciate everybody doing everything they do. You know what I'm saying? Because we do have lots of issues. And I'm going to close with this and I'm done. You know, and you know, David, Brother Tahir, you know, for the last 30-some years, I've been saying that one thing that I personally need to get done, and I'm just using this as an example. You know, we need to say that we need a citizens group to witness the incineration process of guns and drugs the police confiscate, and a portion of the money they confiscate should come directly back into our community to help heal our community. But no matter how long it's been said, it hadn't caught fire with people. Even though today you're talking about people talking about defunding the police and all these changes around the police department, but we are not touching the drugs and guns that the police department confiscate. They confiscate billions of dollars worth of drugs and weapons, man, and there's no accountability on it. So, you know, I think that we do have solutions. I mean, right here on the screen, but again, we cannot unify around issues, and we have to get away from trying to unify around personalities and the people who we think got clout because they got prestige or the system had given them status. So, you know, a lot of the times we just want to be in the midst with people that we think that's got something going for them, and they are not thinking about us. And my last point is this, and I am done. You know, I give you a classic example. Most of us on here probably watch sports at some point, like football, right? So, you know, when your football players get hurt, he break his leg, we feeling sorry for him. But if Bill Gooden break his leg making $10 an hour, nobody ain't feeling sorry for me. You see what I'm saying? But that's the way they program us to think. You see what I'm saying? That football player is more important than Bill Gooden, who's trying to cut down a tree, trying to make a living for his family. You see what I'm saying? So we have to change the perspective. And that's a good thing about controlling media, because media helps to change perspective and help to shape the narrative. And I'm going to end with that because I know we got a lot of other people on.
Well, that's a good lead way into this discussion tonight, because, you know, I mentioned last week and they were talking about an agenda. But I forgot the terminology they used with this guy, 50, not 50 cents, the other one, Ice Cube, but had this type of agenda that we supposed to, that was supposed to deal with a lot of this. And I didn't see too much, you know, problem with the concerns that they had on this agreement. It's just that, you know, we are so many, we come from so many different ways and different ideas and stuff, but we do need to sit down and put down our thoughts and ideas and work on the things that unify us than those small things that keeps us apart. And what you said earlier, you know, just like when you mentioned the a solution to some of the problems with these drugs and guns in our communities, and the police get them, and not most often, because those two items are extremely valuable all over the world, drugs and money. And it's difficult for me to believe that, especially if you cannot see it or watch them destroy these items, they recirculate the money back into the community to cause more harm, more killings, more people strung out and stuff like that, you know. And so that's one solution, like you say, is having that board to watch these type of things. But
can I just say one last thing with that, David?
Yes, sir.
You know, again, because I tell everybody, please, you know, that's the good thing about technology. Google weapons and drugs stolen from police evidence rooms, and you'll see a lot of information pop up all across the country. As well as that, before alcohol was legalized, which most of us on here probably know, before alcohol was legalized, it wasn't no fight between the government and the mafia to get rid of alcohol. The fight was that how would the government get its portion of it? So they created legal liquor licenses. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same way with drugs. Why would we think that the mafia would just let the government take all their drugs? There ain't no fight between them. That don't make no sense, man.
True.
Brad, you want to comment on that?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing because that made a lot of sense. Because back in the Prohibition days, it was a lot of fighting, a lot of murders, and like Mr. Bill was saying, it's not happening now. So, you know, and how can somebody always break into where the stuff is stored for that's being confiscated? You know, that's in a lockdown facility with a lot of officers with guns. So, like you said,
you
I
are muted.
That.
You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing *6.
Well, I'm trying to mute somebody out because there's a lot of background noise. If you can mute yourself, I would appreciate it. But if you want to chime, this is an open discussion, ladies and gentlemen. Let me see if I can, let me see here, because okay, I think I got it. And but if anyone I'd like to chime in, because like I said, Bill brought out some valid points about how these things in our communities, not only drugs and weapons, but there's a lot of in media disinformation that's being circulated out here.
You are unmuted.
You also heard through the news that they were talking about the Russia, the Iranians, and the China, and everybody else putting out information so they can sway us about this elections. And you even heard the head of, I guess, the some of the agencies, intelligence agency, come on, had a special meeting. All of a sudden, he shows up and saying these things are against Trump. And then, you know, that was just, from my perspective, that was just being staged so that it will solidify Trump when he leaves this election, that he can come back and say this, that, this happened. And we had the intelligence agency saying the same thing. But a solution to that problem is us. We, our own news media, our own sources, because they're going to continue to feed us propaganda. And they're going to continue to sway our mind, not only through the black media, white media, but they also through our music, things that we enjoy doing, music, entertainment, because they own the companies and they tell the entertainers to do this, to say this, and do this. But we have to create our own narratives. And that's why the National Black Unity News, ladies and gentlemen, is so extremely important, because this information is coming from us and by us. And we are not controlled by anyone, not by them anyway. And, you know, I like to think from my own self, by divine inspiration, you know, that's God, as far as I'm concerned. But as far as being taking funding from them and them telling us, if we don't do this, we don't. See, that's not the way we operate with this publication. This is a collaboration of like-minded people. We have put up our own resources so that we can bring our own narratives to our own people. And so that's one solution. So I encourage you to support the National Black Unity News. You can go to tnbun.com and get a subscription to the program. We will send it right direct to your home office. Or you can even read the publication online and go to our archives. And you can see every issue that we had since our inception in 2017 when we got started. And out of this crisis, that's why we one of the reasons why we brought the National Black Unity up, you know, in 2017. That's when Trump and them and his people came into power. But see, there's always a counterbalance, and that's when we came into power because you know oppositions are drawing their strengths together, and so do we. We have to do the same thing, but not the way they do it. We have to do it on a different plane. And I see my brother Bilal Omar's on here. If you could unmute yourself, sir, I want to ask you a few questions too, sir. And Bilal is a brother who's been around. He's an entrepreneur. He's you know, I kind of grew up with the brother, you know, in the same area in Baltimore, Emerson Village. And he was a great athlete when, you know, when we were teenagers. He you know, he was real powerful. He went on to be a professional football player with the Colts one time. And but like I say, he's all ever since I've known him since he grown up, he always been a businessman, you know. And I value his opinion because he's been from, you know, how would we say, from the street level to the board, you know. And so, Mr. Omar, can you unmute yourself, sir? The bottom left corner. Let's see if I can't do it from my end. There you go. There you go. Yes, sir, I just wanted to ask you a few questions, sir.
Go ahead.
Since you've been around, his brother's a few years older than I am, since you've been around and you know firsthand about a lot of our issues out here, so what are some of them issues that you're concerned about and what do you think the solutions are to them?
Well, good evening, everybody. Peace and blessings to everybody on there. Yeah, I basically have came to a conclusion in my own logic that business is the only way we have a chance to be able to improve ourselves on our own without being subject to the traditional narrative of what we were when we first came here as a people all the way up to now. If you're going to change that, then you have to be in a position financially and economically to do it. And most of our successful African-American people, business people, and just regular people in our history have been business people. And those were the ones who started, you know, like even in Baltimore, you know, you got successful business people like Willie Adams and Parks and Raymond Haysburg and Kenny Wilson and Quill, and all these people were business people. And they made a great change. I mean, I could name probably 50 millionaires that came out of that group, you know. And I think the future is right because we have a lot of people with free minds, but economics they haven't got. They're still playing the same old game. You know, we think that in order to be successful, you got to have a DR on your name, or you got to have the king's language down so strong. It ain't none of that. Most of these immigrants that come to America who have nothing, maybe a little bit of money, but they have a whole lot of will and a whole lot of desire to be successful. And in the second generation, they're very successful. But our second generation, they riding around in new cars. They trying to run me off the highway. Sometimes I don't even want to go out to drive because they running me off the highway and they ain't going nowhere. They might be going to a party or something of that nature. But their mindset is still like a floating fad. They're just floating around. Even the kind of the Zooming meetings that I've been listening to over the last 6 months or so, not yours particularly, but most of them, they ain't talking about doing no business. Now, one or two of them have got into that. But we got to focus. We got to be like David, the prophet. He had one idea in his mind. And that idea was, to be able to take Goliath. Well, I think his name is Goliath. That's a Bible, so I'm not that familiar with it. But to take him down, that's what he did. But you got to have one strong idea. You can't have 30 ideas, just come on and just keep talking about everything, all of these situations that the leaders put out there for you to respond to, racism. Yeah, so when you're dealing with racism, you're saying, I'm not white, I'm black. Well, I'm not black. I feel sorry for the white people that stuck up on racism, because they went through the same thing that most of us already went through. In the 60s, in the 50s, we went through all of that. Talking about God was a black man, and he was he was Yaku, and he was the creator of every other white man, and all that, and they got the same idea, and they think that all of us are negative and all of them are positive. So it's, but putting your mind focused on trying to economically pull yourself up. Because once we build an institution, it's hard to get it down. Once you have a business where you got the community supporting you, it's hard to get down. But we leave our community. We out living somewhere, no connection to the community, and we got the platform, your platform that we have with this media situation that you have, I think is powerful. But we got to do something constructive with it. We got to be, like a rock. We can't just keep floating around. We got to find one issue that's going to improve us and take it. And we got too many preachers already. We got more preachers than we need. We need somebody that can work, go to work, and don't let nobody stop us from what we're trying to do. That's my main point, economics. We got to get there. We got to be willing to make the sacrifice for the next generation. Because I don't want to see my children and my grandchildren doing the same thing we did, struggling with the drugs. And we can keep the drugs out of our own neighborhood. We can stop all of that stuff if we have the mindset to do it. But if we're waiting for somebody to give us some help, some subsidies, you ain't going to get nothing but another problem. So that's basically what I wanted to say.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir.
I want to listen to y'all because that's why I'm on. I wasn't ready to get on here to be, no.
Well, as I said before, I value your input.
That don't mean nothing to me. Yeah. I wanted to try to figure out how to make some money. I figured y'all was on.
Well,
on something.
But give me a call. If you make some money, give me a call, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I want the community to have it.
Okay,
your platform is so powerful that if you could really focus on economics and just invite all the business people we got, let them write some articles. Let them do something so we can raise our community up. We got to, you know, it's going to take us to change that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we satisfied with just going in the corner store and here we got a person from Eritrea or, you know, from some other country that we don't even, they can't even hardly speak English and they're making better than we make.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Well, that's why I say, you know, that's why we had this format, and that's exactly one of the reasons why we have the National Black Unity News, because my format has always been, you know, they can say a lot of us deal with those issues that's on our hearts, and that's what we focus on. But mine's always been economic empowerment, not just empowering myself, but empowering others. That's why I have the, you know, I did the Informer newspaper so that I could highlight the businessmen in the communities and let people know who they are, what they do, and why they do it, so that we can support them, you know, and that still is the format because, you know, people can say a lot of things about money, economics, but I tell you one thing, to me, it's almost up there with oxygen because you need both of them to survive in this country and in this world. And but if you use money properly, then, like you say, we can build institutions. And, you know, we did it before in worse condition than we are now. We have to change our mindset so that we can go back into them days. I don't care what's in our way, that we're going to move forward. Like you say, we have to have a determined mind, determined mindset. And those of us who are still on their front, we have to reach back and teach one. We have to reach back and teach our children to be, keep, you know, focus on what you have to do. Be the best at what you can do. Because if you put your mind to it and you train your mind to do it, all things are possible as far as I'm concerned. And speaking of, like I say, you know, I'm calling people out on this podcast because I know you all come from different backgrounds. And so, Miss Kathleen Murphy, are you still available? I want you to unmute yourself. I want to ask you a few questions.
I'm available. I do want to make a comment about Mr. Omar's comments about the economic things that we need to do.
Okay, go ahead. Go right ahead.
I feel that maybe I don't talk about economics when I write my articles. I reach out to the youth out there. And when I reach out to them, I'm trying to educate them. I'm trying to inspire them. I'm trying to get them to develop themselves completely. And if they do those things, the economics will come. And so I'm reaching the children. So I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, let me ask you this again, because like I say, you know, I've known you for a long time, and I know your background. And I know you, my brother, Walter Dempsey Murphy, had made a career in the military, and you've been, and both of y'all have been all over the world. You've seen this, and you saw, you know, and you've done that. And but one of my issues that this is a personal thing with me. You know, most of every country has an army to defend itself, and to you know, and to defend the rights of that, you know, that individual countries and stuff. But, you know, when you're in a country that when the playing field is not equal, and then we had people who had came up, we had a lot of organizations came up in the ranks, like the Black Panthers who took up arms and tried to form Community Watch and feeding children and doing a lot of good things. Of course, the press came in there and twisted it and turned it around. But through your military experience, now you, like I said, you had to deal with a lot of people in a kind of a fashion where it rank is important and structure and all of these type of things. And from your experience, by being in the military all those years and relating to us as a people, and you deal with children a lot, with your experience, what solution would you use with all of those skills and experiences you had to teach our children? Because sometimes, you know, they brothers and time, we open this thing up about how you raise a child. And if you raise them right and then you input certain information on them, they won't depart from it. But from your military and your mother, your community activist, you all of these things, so what would you suggest when it comes to raising our children with structure?
Well, first I would say it's the same across the board. You want a good citizen at the end of the day. You want to be able to say, look what I did. If nothing else, I raised a good citizen. Maybe my child does not have a PhD or a college education, but I raised a good citizen. That's a citizen. That's a person that's going to have responsibilities to vote, what we are all talking about right now, making sure that those children understand the structure of the process. I would also say that discipline is very important at an early age, structure and discipline. And with that will come commitment, showing commitment early on. Your word is important. Be responsible. Be on time. Those types of things all build is the foundation. And then last but not least, integrity. Let's not leave that out. And when you have all of that at your base, you're building a strong child.
Miss Mercy.
Yes.
This is Blair. Yeah, how you doing? I'm
fine, thank you.
I'm not trying to, I wasn't trying to put anybody down. And
no,
I know, I'm just want to make it clear for myself.
Yes.
We need to have all of that.
Yes.
We don't, you know, I mean, and we've had that. I mean, we got that all over America. But we want to help the downtrodden and the orphans.
Yes.
And the miskin, the people who ask, and people who can't get it because of circumstances that have happened. And that's why I come together like this on these type of platforms.
Mr. Omar, let me say this to you.
Where can I finish my idea?
Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So all I was saying is that, you know, we need to get together. And we all had, that's where we came from, those kind of situations. But those people need help. And believe me, this society is not helping them. They don't care if they treat them like the coronavirus. You know, we'll just see how many of them catch it and how many of them die. You know, but we need to have a platform of people that's working to get that, to uplift that, and stop trying to get help from other people. That's basically all I was saying. But I was trying to put nobody down. I know people like you. I love you and your husband.
I know. I didn't feel like you were. I was just saying that sometimes each person does it a different way. And perhaps we all need to team up and have a little more unity and do it one way. Maybe that's probably what we need to do more of. But for me, I go out and I volunteer in the schools. I read to the children. And I don't read just every now and then. I have a commitment to that. I'm trying to reach them. I'm one person trying to reach those kids. And I believe that I am making a difference. I know that. It just takes a lot of time and patience. And you don't need a whole lot of money. If you really are trying to reach those kids, they know when you're sincere and you're earnest about what you're doing.
Okay. Let me say this, then. You know, speaking about children, my brother Satavi Jahi, when I first met him, that's who he was dealing with, children. And I was so impressed.
Yes.
That I even brought my own children to him. But I was so impressed by him and his wife, the commitment that they made to their children. I mean, they made not only great personal sacrifices, but like I said, I saw the commitment that they had over the years, not just one time, consistently. And Brother Satavi.
Yes, sir.
When they come down, you know, that just led me into, you know, when I heard my sister Kathleen and Brother Omar was speaking about some of the ways that we can have solutions. And that you. What was some of the solutions that you were dealing with our children?
Repeat that question again, please.
What are some of the solutions that you taught young people about how to handle problems and issues in life?
One was, as Brother Omar said, is that one of the things that we instilled in our children was you have to own a business. That was one of the things. And from that, what happens is you make different kind of decisions, because when you own a business or when you begin to make business decisions, you think different, you reflect different, you have a different outlook on on how to move forward. And so, you know, that was one, because the thing was, when you have a business, then what happens is your values change, because you begin to see things from a different perspective, and you'll see the need for the we as opposed to the I. And that's, you know, very, very important. The other thing we did was instilled in the children, where the thing we did in the Unity Circle, where when we started off, first thing everybody had to do was say, what was they thankful for? And this was important to get them to have a connection to the Creator, that you didn't get here by yourself. You know, there's something out here greater, you know, and we used to use the thing from Roots. When Kunta Kinte named Kizzy, he kept a tradition alive, how when he held her up, you know, and said, behold, the only thing greater than yourself. And so, you know, the thing is making sure that people understand the fact that, you know, whatever name you want to call God, whatever, is that the universe, God is greater than yourself. And that when you can instill that in them, then they'll have another perspective about life. They'll see life from a different perspective, because then if you know, you see God within yourself, then when you see another brother, then the bottom line is, if you to kill that brother, then you're killing part of yourself. And so you think twice about pulling the trigger on somebody or killing them, because you want to make sure that you're not killing yourself, you know what I mean? Sort of like the rap song, they had self-destruction, self-destruction. He headed towards self-destruction. And I would, you know, challenge people to go look at that video when KRS-One and then put that out. And they pulled all of the rap groups together at that time. And they, you know, and they focused on a common theme, self-destruction, you know. And so, you know, we also used the music of our time, you know, the positive rap that was out, because you had when rap first came out, like you had the Grandmaster Flash and several other groups, and you know, and they did the little song I'm thinking about Lovers Rappers Delight, and you know, and that was a very, very positive song. And then gangster rap came along and flipped the switch. And if we understand what the acronym of hip hop is, the acronym of hip hop is healing our people with higher infinite power. Hip hop, healing our people with higher infinite power. And so when hip hop first came out, it was a strong, strong connection to the essence of the universe of again, healing our people with higher infinite power. And so when you look at how do we go about healing our people, we have to use higher infinite power. That's the only way we're going to be able to heal our people, because anything else, you know, we're going to fall short, and people just not going to get it. So they think, you know, I'm here by myself. Ain't nothing. I mean, that's why you had, at one point, you had people, you know, planning their own funerals who were under 25. You know what I mean? Because they didn't think they would make it to 25. And so, you know, and that's a deep mindset when you think, you know, we think of those of us that's on this call tonight who have lived that almost like three times in terms of, you know, going past 25. You know, I'm 68. I didn't think I'd be here, this long. I thought that the oppressor would took me out like Malcolm or Martin, you know, in my 30s. Both of them, they died young. They was 39 years old. And the thing is, you know, we all got some wisdom under us, and we just need to learn how to be able to share that wisdom with other people. But it all starts with learning how to have a business. That is the missing link in our community. We don't teach our youth the importance of owning a business. And it can start off as very, very simple. Remember one time I did a workshop over in the penitentiary, and, you know, I talked about if you have a rake and some trash bags, you can start a landscaping business. You start off with the rake and the trash bags, and you rake some people's lawns, and eventually you get enough money, and then you can buy yourself, next would be like, you know, some snow removal equipment, make some more money, you turn it over. I mean, and they could understand about the turnover effect because most of the people that was in the penitentiary was in there for selling drugs. And part of the thing was that you have to always look at how to turn your money over when you're in that selling drug business. And so you can start off very simple. I did a things workshop, and I said you can start off very simple, a rake and some trash bags, and you got a landscaping business. The people there, the brothers, they looked at me, a landscaping business? How you got a landscaping business with some rake and some trash bags? I said you start off raking leaves. I said, you know, and when you do, you just make sure you don't overcharge people. You know, you make sure if you're going to rake leaves, try to keep your fee, you know, well, back then, I used to tell them, you know, try to keep your fee between $10 and $15, and you know how many yards you got to be able to get done. But now, you know, you want to rake leaves. That was, again, that was in the 80s. But, yeah, 2000-something now, I mean, you know, you definitely need to be looking at $30, maybe $45. You're going to rake somebody's yard for them. But that was the main thing, David. We you know, everything that we taught, it ultimately centered around owning a business, becoming an entrepreneur. It was so powerful that we even took 1 year, we took a group of youth to the Black Enterprise Conference. I never forget that. And, you know, we fell short on the money that we needed. And Robert Clay came to our rescue. You know, he said, man, you're doing something great, bro. He said, you're teaching them what they need to know. He said, let me help support you. And so he supported us. We was able to take them to Opryland, Tennessee for the Black Enterprise Conference. And they had workshops for the youth, and they had workshops for the adults. We attended our adult workshop. They attended their youth workshop. And the thing was that what it did, when I'm attending that youth workshop, they picked up a lot of good skills and have gone on to do some great things. So, but, you know, again, it all starts around knowing how to run a business.
Wow. You know what? Listening to you all, man, you know, just takes me back and to the Bible and to the word that they call it. You know, when God, he spoke. First thing they say, God did, he spoke things into existence, words. And I like to think, you know, that's what I deal with, words in media form. But I do know this. In the beginning of the Bible, there's some quotes in there saying that the first thing, you know, after he put the land together, the fish, the birds, and all of that, he put man on earth. And he told man to subdue it, multiply it, guard it, take care of it. Not in the exact words I'm saying, but he gave each man a series of talents, some more than others, maybe one or two, but they had talents. And he said, and these talents were like gifts, and it's written that your gifts will make a way for you. You can pick up a rake. You can pick up a pen and be an artist. You can do all of these things, those gifts. You can sing, play sports, whatever it is. You have a talent. Your gifts within each and every one of us, we can multiply and nurture those gifts. And we can multiply them, and they will make a way for you. But at the same time, speaking of those, you know, dealing with our youth and dealing with us, because we, you know, we have to deal on all levels of life. And it's a good place to start with our youth, but we need to start with each other. Like you said, we've been talking about unity. We talk about economics. We talk about structure. But Dr. Pender, if you can unmute yourself, I want you to chime in on this, if you can. Just let me know if you can chime in. Because I was speaking of a higher power. Y'all, I heard it mentioned several times in this conversation, is that we can do a lot of things on individual basis. We can raise our children. We can provide. We can do a lot of things. We can go out there and unify and work with our brothers and sisters in the vineyard, in the community. But, and a lot of us have done that and still doing it. But at the same time, Dr. Pender, are you available? If you all just say something, let me know. But at the same time, I tell people, like I say, ain't no shame in my game. I tell people that, you know, the things that I've done, do and has done is because of divine inspiration. See, I believe there is a God. I believe that we are put on this earth for a reason. And there was many examples that I can identify with in the Bible. I know it's in the Quran and it's in a lot of other books as well. That, you know, we are our brother's keepers. We are, you know, we all are one. You know, we are interconnected. And sometimes we put these separations of degrees on each other because of the color of your skin, your geographical area. Or like Omar just said, if you got a DR in front of your name or PhD, whatever, you know, in the back of it. But regardless of who you are, like I said, I think every man is valuable. But you just have to look into that mirror. You have to identify who you are, what you are, why you are. When I mentioned those gifts, and if you nurture your gifts, it's never too late. It's never too late to go out there and create. Because like I said, all things are possible. And I'm going to give you one prime example, you know, and anybody can chime in because I'm rambling on for a reason.
David, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. My name is Walter Eugene Dempsey Murphy, and I am the managing director of the National Black Community News. And I'm so glad to be on this call because you're speaking about not only our future, but our present. One of the things that has happened to America is the fact that being self-employed is really vital. It's kind of ironic, but during the turn of the century, 1900, I think it was 1907, if I'm not mistaken, it was 94% of all of the people in the United States of America who filed any types of taxes or anything of that nature were self-employed. Yes, the Industrial Revolution was ongoing, but most people were farmers. They did day's work. They did anything that they could to make a dollar because there were not a lot of employers then. And so, and it's kind of ironic, but in the year of 2007, it wound up being just the opposite, where 94% of just about everybody was working for someone. Now, statistics will tell you that about 30% of the population at some point during the point of their week are self-employed. However, the craziness is that a lot of that is when, like Omar was talking about earlier, they may have a day job somewhere, but that night job may be cutting glass or cutting somebody's hair or being Uber or whatever the case may be. But at some point, they may be self-employed during the course of the week. But what is most important is that our children are no longer getting that education from their parents. Their parents used to have to balance the checkbook. If they even didn't have a checkbook, they had to balance their accounts. In other words, they knew when the family was, you know, not doing well and when they weren't doing well. And so I just want to interject that because it is true that our children need to be educated and mostly about who they are as far as a spiritual being is concerned. And secondly, that they can earn as much money as they so desire if they have the proper tools. Back to you, David.
Yes, sir. But then, yes, sir, you know, again, you know, when you came in and, like I say, you know, I come from an area where, I saw, you know, businesses, black businesses in my community. And I also seen at the same time where people, even like my father, had to, you know, he was an educated man, had to submit himself spiritually, mentally. He had to bow down to certain
you are muted
because of the color of his skin. And but I remember the time, Mr. Murphy, as you know, when you lived in the community, like Brother Omar mentioned this one, what there was a time when you had the doctors, the lawyers, the trash man, everybody lived in the same community. And we saw us doing all these different types of things. So we had a lot of options. I had a lot of options when I was growing up because I seen them. I seen Black Hospital right here in Baltimore, Providence Hospital. I used to walk up and down a place called Pennsylvania Avenue, those who live in Baltimore, where you can see great entertainers, Black restaurants, hotels, schools, typing schools, all kinds of schools. We had trade schools. We had all kinds of opportunities during them times. But it seemed like as we was progressing, systems came into place and took it all away. And like I say, by design. And so when I was talking about issues, you know, to me that is a major issue because they stopped because, in spite of everything that we've done, like I say, even time before my time, when you had Black people were building institutions, colleges, all of those Black historical colleges, Black people came together with some help of other people, though, but they did it. You got the Marcus Garveys and all of those, in spite of those type of times, was able to organize and unify people. And I see today, I look at all the wealth and talent that we have all across this nation and beyond. But yet, through media propaganda, one of the main things that people do to us, and we allow it to happen to us because we don't even really know what's happening to us, is because they fear the fact that if we ever, I'm talking about Black people right now, pull our resources together, support one another. I mean, just stop spending with us. This whole system will collapse, and they know this. And I tell you this all the time. People come from all over the world. Brother Omar mentioned it earlier. He said people can come from all over the world and set up a shop in our community and make a fortune. Make a big fortune. Go back to their community. Bring more people over from us.
Mr. Morrissey?
Yes.
I didn't say anything because I was looking for one of my articles, and I found it.
Mm-hmm.
If I may, back in the issue July, August, September, Volume 2, 2018, I wrote an article about self-awareness and development.
Mm-hmm.
And in that article, I talk about opportunities for our youth, how they can make money by starting off by volunteering. I go into detail. I talk about business cards, how to assist a senior with a computer class, 101. I have many, many cleaning out these seniors' attics and garages. The article talks about several different things, but I go into detail about that. If anyone is interested, that's in the July, August, and September issue of 2018.
Yeah,
and it was directed for the youth on good ideas on getting started.
Yeah, y'all can find it in our archives at tnbun.com. Go to the archives and you can pull that issue right up and check it out. Before we we getting close to the end of the hour, my brother just came on board with us, a brother named Brother Cliff. And we were just talking about some of the issues that we have in our communities, but we were talking about more about the solutions to them. This brother, been around for some time now, and he had this little concept of a will. And, we don't have too much time, Brother Cliff, but, this brother's been on the front lines for years, trying to organize us, unify us. And, but he knows he's up against a task, just like we all are. But, Brother Cliff, very briefly, can you explain a little thing about that will when it comes to us?
Yes, I can really quickly. But before I do that, though, I think I would be remiss if I say anything before I recognize, and I don't know whether there's been an opportunity to mention this or not, the transition of one of our community's elders, Mama Maisha Washington, who was a member of the Maryland Council of Elders. She had been a representative back in 2007 in the organization that I primarily work with, the Sixth Region Diaspora Caucus, or SRDC. And then in 2017, she was nominated and elected, along with Elder David Murphy here, to the Maryland Council of Elders. And last week, she unfortunately transitioned to the ancestors. It was kind of sudden. And so so I know that there are other members of the Maryland Council of Elders who are putting together whatever arrangements they're going to be able to put together with her family. And there were a number of things she was involved with. Involved with a project to help build the first public library in the history of the country of Liberia, along with several project managers, engineers, and developers. And that project is going to move forward, though with more difficulty, because she was a driving force behind that. She also was the primary organizer, at least on this side of the ocean, for a virtual summer camp that was held in August and or July, August, September of this year. And it was between several students here in Maryland and about 30 students in Liberia. So it was a cooperative virtual summer camp. And from what I understand, there's an organization on the ground in Monrovia, Liberia, called SEWA Liberia, and they are going to try to put together some kind of a remembrance for her. Apparently, the students there in Liberia were quite shocked and upset when they heard that she had transitioned. So we've been kind of dealing with that over the last several days, and I've personally been working on my organization's website because somehow or another it crashed. And I just finally got the thing back up today, but now I've got to redesign it, repopulate it, put a lot of new information in there. But moving on real quickly to the whole spokes of the wheel idea, and I don't think it's a new idea. It's not something that I came up with in the brilliance of my own mind necessarily. I think it's just an idea to pop back into my head, following up on what I'm sure other people have done before. Back in 2011, I was at a gathering in North Carolina, South Carolina. It's right there at the border. It's at a retreat center that several brothers own. And at that event, there were people from the All African People's Revolutionary Party, UNIA, European group, Central American group, my organization, SRDC, a couple of groups from New York, all with a Pan-African focus, but they all dealt with it in different ways. And sitting in that round room with them at tables arrayed in a circle just brought up an idea. Again, I don't think this is anything new. I don't think it's anything original. But the idea being that the way we have often come together in coalitions or united fronts has tended to be that we get together in one room, get a whole bunch of people together. Once they agree that people of African descent must unite, then all of a sudden we declare that we have a united front, we're going to move forward, and we're going to free our people. And the next meeting comes up, and then the second they start getting into how are we going to do this, then all of a sudden everyone starts competing. One person says, well, I think you should do it this way, or you should do it that way. Someone will say culture is the only way to do it. Someone else will say economics is the way to do it. Someone else will say revolution is the only solution. Someone else will say vote or don't complain. And as a result, all these people start arguing with each other. They start jockeying for position. And then the next thing you know, the coalition is done. So usually when I hear people say that we've got a united front, that's when unfortunately, it seems to be a signal that the thing's not going to last very long, because everyone just wants to declare a united front and doesn't want to put together the structure that would actually make it work. And a hierarchical structure where everyone's going to jockey for position doesn't make any sense to me anymore. So it seems to me that the way to do it would be, instead of, and the visual of it is, instead of having our objective at the top and all these different organizations arrayed at the bottom jockeying for position, instead put the objective in the middle of the room and array everyone around it in a circle. Their missions to reach that objective can be drawn as straight lines. If you step back from it, what you then have is you have a circle, a little spot in the center, and a whole bunch of lines or spokes heading toward it. And when I looked at that, I said, it looks like a bicycle wheel. So then I just decided to name it spokes of the wheel, and that's kind of where that came from. The idea being that all of those spokes are necessary to make that wheel work. You start cutting any of those spokes, the wheel starts to bend, it ultimately collapses, and whatever you're using that wheel to carry you in, whether it's a cart or a bicycle or a car or anything else, that wheel breaks down, and you're stuck on the side of the road while everyone else passes you. And it seems that when we come together in organizational coalitions or so-called united fronts or anything like that, we do that all the time. You'll hear one organization sniping at another organization's methods. It's one thing to not agree with how another organization does it, and yet it's yet another to then turn around and start attacking that organization and attempting to sabotage what it is that they're doing. So when I see people getting into arguments over, one person says that if you don't vote, you don't have a right to get it to complain, which is, I'm sure, what a lot of people are saying right now. It's a presidential election. And then other people who say voting is for chumps. Instead of having that argument, why not let the people who believe in voting pursue that strategy? The people who don't believe in voting pursue whatever strategy it is that they want to pursue. But then when it comes down to coming up with a comprehensive strategy, create a situation in which those who want to push the economic solution can then do what they do and do it in such a way that it can support the people who believe in revolution, or support the people who believe in involvement in the political system, or support the people who believe in culture, or support the people who believe in straight up grassroots organizing. In other words, more of a cooperative, real cooperative coalition. And the idea behind Spokes of the Wheel is just to give you that graphic that just kind of puts it on paper, that when you look at that particular graphic, no one that's around the rim of that wheel has to cross anybody else's mission in order to get their work done. Nobody has to feel as though they are superior to anyone else in order to do their work, on top of which everybody on the rim can look around that wheel and see each other. There are no hidden agendas. So the whole idea is just to put in graphic form what something like that would look like, so people can look at it and they could see how it would work. And also to realize that without any of those strategies, our overall strategy of freeing our people is going to fail. Everyone says, you must do this way or you must do it that way. And for some reason, those of us who are sports enthusiasts don't take a look at what happens in organized sports. LeBron James all by himself on a basketball team is not going to win. He has to have teammates who don't do the same thing he does, who don't have the same abilities he does. It's the same in football. It's the same in baseball. It's the same in hockey. It's the same in a game of chess. I equate a lot of people who say my way is the only way to someone who would sit down to a chessboard, for any of you who play chess, and try to win the game with just one piece. Anyone who sits down opposite me and tries to play me with just one piece is going to get spanked, because one thing that a decent chess player, and I consider myself a decent chess player, I'm not a master, but I've beaten a few. Anyone who considers himself a decent chess player knows that you win by making your different pieces work together and work cooperatively towards one goal. They don't do the same thing, but they do their different things in pursuit of a common goal. And the idea of that whole spokes of the wheel design is to try to encourage us to do that. And of course, you can't just have a graphic. You have to actually sit down with each other and work out how it is that you're going to do this. And one of the key aspects would be a strong Pan-African media, which of course is where Elder David Murphy's publication comes in, which is where anyone who has a website or a blog comes in, which is where internet radio like LIB Radio and Harambe Radio come in, which is where people who have radio shows on traditional radio stations come in. So all of these kinds of things, as I see it, have to get the mindset where they're going to truly cooperate and work with each other instead of working against each other, sniping at each other, and cutting each other's spokes the way we do time after time after time, and then wonder why the Asians are passing us, wonder why the Latinos are passing us, wonder why the LGBTQ community is passing us, wonder why white women are passing us, and now they're starting to wonder why poor white men are passing us, because they're not cutting their spokes the way we do. So that's my brief thing on the spokes of the wheel part. Of course, I've been a little preoccupied over the last several days, A, trying to get this website up, and also trying to figure out what we're going to do as far as a remembrance for Mama Maisha and to help the Maryland Council of Elders move forward from here. So I'm going to shut my mouth now and take a chill pill.
Okay, well, let me say this to you. I did mention her early in the broadcast, you know, and she would be truly missed, you know, because she was a soldier.
Right.
You know, straight up. And but Brother Cliff, I would like to invite you on one of our future broadcasts, because I seen you do presentations several times, and I think, and I told you straight up about it, that is one powerful solution to our, you know, because like I say, it's cohesiveness, it's bringing us together. Nobody's stepping on no one's toes, and everybody's doing their thing, but for the greater good of all of us, because we all need each other. Just like I say, in a society, you're going to have law enforcement. You're going to have doctors. You're going to have this. So people grow the foods. And you have to have the electricians. You got to have it all to make it work. And so, you know, no matter what chosen field you're into, whatever your gifts and talents are, that it all works together. Just like a body, the fingernail, the tips, all that's part of the body. You got to work in unison to make it work. And so I would like to invite you on in the very near future, because that's what we're talking about, solution-oriented information. You know, and if we don't come up with something now, just like our dear sister, man, she departed with all that wealth and knowledge. She shared it, but still was so much within her, you know, now it's gone.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so important, those of us who are elders, that we come together, we share this information. And not only share, but we do something with it, you know, in cohesiveness. And that's one of the reasons, like I say, that's one of the reasons why the National Black Unity News is still here, because when most black papers are faltering, they're going down. We're going up. We're expanding our territory because we have that same type of formula, is that we have bring people together under one umbrella to say, okay, we can have a solution to help us as a people. And so that's one of the makes us so successful, because one thing about the National Black Unity News, that the people that work with this publication, who put their money in with it, their writings, their gifts and their talents in it, they are sincere about helping us. And like I said,
hello.
We all had different methods. Dr. Pender, that you, sir?
That's me, yeah. I've been trying to get on, but it's kind of unsuccessful. Could I borrow 3 minutes of your time, please?
Yeah, give me one more second, sir, and I'll bring you right on in. And you know, in closing, like I said, I asked Dr. Penn to come in because we, Brother Cliff and everybody else, Brother Satawi and a few other people, we were talking about some of our young people and some of the things that we have to do to raise them up right. And Brother Satawi mentioned the fact that when Kunta Kinte in that movie, when he held that baby up and said, "Behold, something greater than you," you know, speaking of God. And that was a leeway to use. That's why I want you to come in, because, you know, you are constantly speaking about, you know, God, and we need to seek him first. And then all the other things come together. So you got the 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. What has happened, the gentleman came on that you, I think he played football or something, was talking about establishing a means to go forward. Well, let's begin the process. We've been in business, in the pest control business, for the last 42 years, been very successful at it. In fact, 3 years ago, I missed a $14 million contract. My wife fired me, and, well, we're still together, but she fired me. So I'm looking at opportunities to take our business to another level, is because now we're approaching, we want to franchise in each state in the union. We already have the business. The only thing we need now is people with a willing mind to go to work. The pest control business is a multi-million-dollar industry, and we also just bought into the virus business. So we're also into opening up churches. We got systems that we can put in churches to kill the virus and in homes and so forth. And this system's been out for years. What it does just actually purifies the air. That's what the virus is. But if anybody's interested, the only thing they have to do is have a willing mind. We will give them all the avenues. And look, they don't have to worry about getting contracts. There are state contracts every day that floats in every state that minorities can get in on. It's called an OMBI program. And you can make all the money you want to. The only thing you have to do is have a willingness to work. You don't have to work 12 hours a day. I'll go out and work. I'm 74 years of age now, and some people call me to work, and I work for about $6 a minute. Hello? What did I just say? $6 a minute at the least, and even more. But the pest control business is a business that's opening up for anyone. You may call me, somebody who's interested in going into business. We can set it up now. We're talking about solutions. So I'm giving you an avenue of solutions to go in business for yourself in the pest control business. We know it from top to bottom. We're incorporated, and we can incorporate in Maryland and any other states, get you rolling, and it doesn't take you $100,000 to get involved in the pest control business. If you got the willingness and less than $1,500, you can get in. Actually, it'll take you less than $800 to get in the pest control business, and we'll give you the ropes step by step, so that you can be successful. And that's something that you can look back on. That's a legacy. Thank you very much. I know I went over 3 minutes, but my number is 804-691-0410. 804-691-0410. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Pender. Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Dr. Pender, could you type that in the chat, please?
That's one thing I don't have. Let me see. How do I do this?
I can get you the number because you can find
it. Type it in for me. If anybody wants to contact me, because there are dozens of business opportunities that's right there in Maryland that you guys are not taking advantage of. And you can get CDBG grants. You can get grants actually to help your business. We're talking about solutions here. We talked all about people having businesses and so on and so forth. But this is a way that you can guarantee to have money, and the government will give you money. Right now, it's more money out there than you can shake a stick at from minorities in business. The only thing we have to do is have the capabilities of saying, I want to work for myself, but we've been trained to work for others. We've never been trained to work for ourselves. If you work 2 weeks for yourself, I guarantee you that you will stop working by the hour for anybody else. Because if I can pay, I'll pay anybody. We pay our workers sometimes a dollar a minute, and we're cheating them. That's $60 an hour. That's no money in this business. So you can do the same thing. It's money in being self-employed. The only thing you have to do is have a willingness to do it. But we can't break ourselves from being, I got to work for somebody else. That's not going to make it. Your whole demeanor has to change. Your whole demeanor. When I was really out there working, I could work 2 months out of the year and I didn't have to work anymore. And I'm not talking about full 7 days. I worked 5 days for a whole 2 months and I didn't have to work anymore. I made enough money for a whole year. And you can do the same thing. And we got younger people than me who can now go out and do it. In fact, one of the people didn't show up for work, so I got to go out and work tomorrow. I'm 74 years of age, but money like that, why not? What's wrong with $1,500 for about 45 minutes?
Well, they ain't bad. okay. But ladies and gentlemen,
we'll show you also how that you don't have to pay taxes. You know this thing that Donald Trump's talking about paying taxes? My wife don't pay any taxes at the corporation. We don't pay taxes. We use loopholes. We got a black accountant that makes sure to ensure we don't pay taxes.
Okay.
Hello.
All right. So we usually stay on for about an hour, but we control our own time here. So we're going to shut this thing down. But again, you can find Dr. Pender information in the National Black Unity News. You can also go to the website. Again, that's tnbun.com, and you can find his information on there as well. And so, but if you need his information, you're interested in what he just shared with you, you can call me personally at 443-455-2373, and I can get you his information. And so, like I say, the door is open. You know, we were talking about solutions. Brother Cliff just came in with a powerful solution. I really want you to be one of our guests in the very near future, sir, so we can get a little bit more detail about that discussion with the well. And at the same time, to everybody who spoke this evening, I appreciate you for your input because, like I say, it takes a village. And like I say, knowing who you are and whose you are, you have proven track records of not just talking about, but being about it. And so, in closing, anybody want to share before we shut down? I think somebody was raising their hand, but they left. But anybody want to share 3 minutes? Just a 3 minutes. We only got 3 minutes left. Unmute yourself and share.
David, real quick, Dr. Pender's information I just posted in the chat. And so that's up now. And for those who have a pencil in front of them who cannot see the chat, it's 804-691-0410. Again, that is 804-691-0410. And again, I want to thank all you guys for coming on. Brother Cliff, I appreciate your information. I like that spoke thing. And I would love to talk to you and David about that in the very near future. So back to you, David.
Okay. Anybody else want to share before we shut down?
Just want to say hi. This is Ursa Harris.
Hey, Ursa. Yeah, how you doing? And that's all you want to say? That's all you want to say is hi? You?
Well, I got a brother. I got up early this morning. I had to drop some people off at the polls at 6 o'clock to make that money because they was paying $100 a day. And then I went golfing. I went golfing at Forest Park.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Della. If any of you know Dr.
You met kind of woman.
Had a fun day.
Yeah, you my kind of girl.
Stabilizing golfing, because if you don't know Dr. Butler, the above also to help purify the air. So just supporting each other, like Cliff said, everybody's got to get out there and do what we can. And make sure you're a little tired, but we got to get out there and do it, guys.
That's right. By any means necessary. Anybody
any
else?
Any means necessary.
This is Chenyef Lucas Sr. saying hello to everyone. And
hey, Mr. Lucas, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And do not forget to vote. Vote, vote, please.
Yes.
Man, I don't care.
Without that early, get out there, guys, and make it happen.
All right.
That's right.
A no vote is a vote. So when you don't vote,
right,
you're still voting. So don't get out. Don't think you're getting out just because you don't vote.
Like,
and I love that wheel of success. I don't know whether my brother gave it a name, but it sounds like a wheel of success to me.
He gonna write it. Hey, Brother Cliff, he gonna write you a poem real quick. I'll put him up against any young rapper. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you because, like I say, you know, it's so wonderful. It's so great. You know, like I say, a lot of us are past 20, and to still be in the vineyard, still putting in work, still sharing information that can enhance other people's quality of life, that's a powerful thing. Do you know, I'm just saying this in closing, I wake up when I'm finished sleeping, but when I do wake up, I go to work, not because I have to, because I want to, because I have something to share. And I know that for future generations, you know, whatever I have within me, I can share. But you know what the greatest thing that I do? There go the well. The greatest thing that I do is this. It's sharing you. Because you are the ones who have so much power, so much information. And so, like, that's why I call myself a servant of servants. Because you're the ones with the information. You're the ones that have life-altering, life-saving information. And we have to continue to do this because tomorrow's not promised, so we have to act now. We can't wait for tomorrow. And so support the National Black Unity News because it's here to support you. 443-455-2373. And Brother Cliff, if you're not busy next Monday, I would love for you to be a guest on that because it's time to stop talking about all these problems. We got to come up with some serious solutions now. And we can make change. And I want to thank everybody who supported the National Black Unity News. We are definitely going to be all over the country now. And I'm bringing people in almost every day now. So, you know, watch out. You know, be on that down slope, and you can't stop it now. You know, and so don't give up. Don't give in. This is it. And like, I appreciate everybody. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this call is over. And tomorrow we will have a special call for some of the members of the National Black Unity News. You're welcome to join us because you need to participate with us. Don't hide that light under them bushels, because, like I say, God has blessed you with so much gifts and talents, but other people need to know it. So come join us. You know, I'm not hard to get along with. All right. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, good night.
Good night.
Good night, David.
Good night.
Take care.
Goodbye.